We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everybody, before we get into today's pod, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here on Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you wanted to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and e-learning course filled with tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll get you show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other listening platforms. And the best part is that you can get this all for $15 a month. That's the same rate that any other hosting site would just charge you for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join.
It feel like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami.
Welcome, welcome to the EP Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Damas. And with me today, to my left, Mr. Drip Prop himself, Alex Musibai.
Yo, 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 what's going on, people?
How does it feel that you've started a movement, sir?
It's honestly crazy, man. Like, I was talking to you guys about it the other night. Like, I was telling this to Christian literally since the day he was drafted, and it became like a running joke almost just to piss him off anytime we would go to a game to start screaming drip drop. And now to actually on my feet is amazing. So thank you.
It's a staple of Hangover Time, which is our post game show, which you can check out after every single Heat game. And by the way, if you're listening to us on the podcast, we're broadcasting from our Twitch page, twitch.tv/MIAHeatB. Get out on the conversation. We talk with chat. Chat's popping right now. They're dropping some drip drops in the chat. They get involved, they ask us questions, they help us produce. Let me tell you something, you've been a godsend. I think the pods have been better because chat really helps us out. So if you're an audio only, you know, we always tweet out the schedule and what time we go live. So check out or follow us on Twitch so that you get the little notification and all that good stuff. On the bottom of the screen, trash tweeter, Weird Alf himself, Jack Alfonso.
What's up?
Jack, I kind of coerced you to come on today because we were arguing in our group chat and on the timeline about a topic that I care way too much about.
Yeah, I guess we'll get into it. this was really a last minute thing. I was not supposed to be on tonight, but then you asked and I was like, all right, fine. So here I am.
As you can see from the header on Twitch, the topic of conversation is Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo's all-star snub. Chad is upset as I am. And it's kind of weird because all-star is kind of an innocuous thing that doesn't matter. And I think we're all in agreement that it's probably better for the Heat if they don't go play in that game because it's dangerous. It's dangerous out there with COVID and the Heat really can't afford anybody to be in health and safety protocols for one more damn game. Because that's the hole they dug themselves into. So the All-Star reserves were announced. It's going to be James Harden, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons, Zach LaVine, Nikolai Vucevic, and Julius Randle. Moose, I'm upset. I'm upset because the coaches decided. They watched basketball. They game plan. They know the game. And yet they decided that Nikola Vucevic is having a better basketball season than Bam Adebayo. And they decided that Julius Randle also had a better season than Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. We're going to get into all the nitty gritties and I'm going to make my cases. But I mean, there's so many things wrong with the reserves. I mean, like Ben Simmons getting in, I think is ridiculous. I think Jaylen Brown really fell off the last half. I think. You know, Zach LaVine is another guy that I'm not crazy about him making. I think there's a lot of imperfect. I think Tatum and Harden were the only two guys that like legitimately were locks to be reserves. But I tell you that Jimmy and Bam are snubbed and you say.
I would agree more with Jimmy being snubbed than I would with Bam being snubbed. But you're also talking to someone that is just extremely happy that they are not going to Atlanta for the All-Star game. Sorry, Jimmy and Bam, but it's just, I don't want you guys getting any extra minutes. I don't want any risk at any COVID injury, nothing. Like, just stay the hell away. So I'm probably the wrong one to ask. But again, I think Jimmy had a much more valid case than Bam.
I think Jimmy Butler is legitimately one of the best players in the NBA. I think his play since he's come back from his COVID protocol has been absolutely spectacular. I think we also have to forget that before he went out with COVID protocols, he was on a bad ankle. He turned the ankle in Orlando the very first game of the season, and he just legitimately has not. He started the season. He did not look good, right? And Jimmy's been amazing. He's averaging 19 points, almost 8 rebounds, almost 8 assists. With 2 steals, he is the linchpin of everything they do on defense, I think, even more so than Bam since he's returned. Because since he's come back, the Heat are the number 2 defense in the league, and all their metrics and their trends trend right. They're good rim protectors. They close out on 3-point shooters, which they weren't before because Jimmy's now that help man and all that stuff. So, Jack, you were calling me, I think you called me cringe on the timeline because I was complaining about this.
I guess my take is 2-pronged. First of all, you're like, what, 3 games under 500 in no position to be talking about what you deserve or don't deserve.
The Knicks are the Magic.
I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about Heat fans who right now the team looks like dog shit. Like they had a couple of good.
No, they don't.
They have 2 wins that
they're
are,
above
that are
500 since Jimmy's come back. They've legitimately good basketball team.
But that's not the window of time that you're measuring this. You're measuring it from the beginning of the season to now.
No, Jimmy played like 3 games before that.
But Jimmy, exactly. Jimmy wasn't playing the fuck game.
Jimmy missed a ton of games.
Tatum missed a bunch of games.
Not fair.
Durant missed. Okay. Are we sure Tatum's better? Because I'm not there. Tatum's team sucks. Tatum's team is, I think,
Tatum's
below 500.
Better than the Heat.
Yeah, we're below 500. They're at 500.
But when Jimmy plays, they're above 500. They're a winning basketball team when he plays.
But my point is, if you're below 500 as a fan base, you're not in the position to be like, oh, we deserved this. We got snubbed. You are at the position right now where people are going to snub you whether you deserve it or not because nobody's paying attention to you because you're a bad team. And I know everybody's riding high on like the past couple of wins, but they still have one of the worst offenses in the league. For the most part of the year, they've been really like not a good team. And really to the to date, they have like two impressive wins. One of them against the Lakers and another against the Bucks. And other than that, I don't know if they have another win that I would hold up as particularly impressive.
Okay. That's very nice.
No, but I will agree. I will disagree with Moose. I think Bam deserved it more. But I also think if Jimmy was getting voted in as a backcourt player, I think he absolutely would have deserved it and would have gotten in. But the front court was kind of loaded. The backcourt, I think, had like, I don't think Jaylen Brown is better than Jimmy. I don't think Zach LaVine is like deserved it more than Jimmy. With the front court, it's a little complicated. I think the biggest snub is not Bam or Jimmy. I think it's Domantas Sabonis because his team is really good right now. And he has numbers that are like comparable with anybody playing.
I totally agree, Jack.
His team is 500 should be there. What do you mean his team is really good?
They're in the playoffs, are they not?
They're 4-6 in their last 10. Their metrics don't trend well. Since Jimmy's come back,
the Heat have been... about metrics. This is the All-Star game. They're the fourth seed in the East. They're a playoff
with a 500 record, which the Heat are
they're
like
above
a
500
game
right now.
Okay, they're one game over 500.
As opposed to us who are three games under 500.
Sorry, I'm with the Hamburglar on this one, man. You're alone on this, G.
Okay, wait a second. They're two games ahead of the Heat. So it's not like they're like much better. They're two damn games better than the Heat. That's not a big difference. Sabonis, I agree, is a good player. I think Bam has been better, but that's whatever. If Sabonis had gotten in over Bam, I wouldn't have been too upset. Randall has plays for a below 500 team, a team that's only a game better than the Heat. And again, I always point to this. Let's look at if we're really looking at these guys and whether they deserve this honor or not. What is their production like when they play versus when they don't? How much are you really impacting your team? And I've pounded this drum a lot. When Jimmy's on the court, when he's playing basketball for them, the Heat are outscoring opponents by almost a 5 net rating. They have a 112 offensive rating and a 106 defensive rating. When he sits, when he doesn't play, they're getting outscored by -8 net rating, -7 point whatever net rating. With an offensive rating of 106, which is like almost dead last in the league, and a defensive rating of 113, which is fucking awful. So the impact that Jimmy has on the team when he plays is more than any of those guys that you can say, more than Randall, who's a minus both on and off. He's just a slightly less minus when he's off. LaVine, who's better. The Bulls are better when LaVine sits by 8 points in a not insignificant sample size. And Vucevic, who is also plays for a bad team, right? Who doesn't impact winning the way Jimmy does. Because when Jimmy has played basketball, they have won games. They have a positive point differential in the games that he plays. They are barely above 500. They are, if you said the Pacers are a really good team. If Jimmy was healthy, the Heat would be above the Pacers.
And the Pacers have had some injuries too. Like they're not like...
And in a COVID season... For you to punish a guy that got sick because he missed 2 weeks of basketball, when Tatum missed a week of basketball, when Durant has only played 50 more minutes than Jimmy Butler,
Durant
I think it's
votes,
a little
though,
ridiculous.
Huh? Here's one point I will make is the Heat are deserve to get punished on some level. The reason why we're talking about where the Knicks are basically in the same position, a little bit better than the Heat right now, and the Pacers like a little bit better than the Heat right now. The reason they don't get the same scrutiny is they didn't make the fucking finals last year. The Heat made the finals last year and they are one of the biggest disappointments. They are still one of the biggest disappointments.
We still have way too many.
They were starting Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, and Kazi Okpala. What are they supposed to do?
In the front office. I mean, we've talked at length about what they should do. And I think what Moose about to say is, they have way too many losses that are inexcusable. They have not been a good team this year. They have been maybe the most disappointing team in the NBA this year, fairly or unfairly. I don't think they should be playing this year. I think COVID unfairly took them out. But they also, like, even healthy, they haven't been wonderful. They've been better, and they have a really good defense and a really bad offense. They are still a disappointing team, even with health.
That's fine, and I agree with that. And I'm not gonna disagree because we've been on this show and we've kind of pounded that like a lot, and they've sucked. They've flat out sucked. And even the games, but like again, they're 11-8 when Jimmy plays, and they're 3-9 without him. Dragic has played 2 games with Jimmy since he's come back. And that matters, right? Their health matters, right? And I think Jimmy's impact on the court, I think the numbers say so. I think the films say so. They're really good on defense, and a big part of it
well,
is
Jimmy. And to those numbers, that's why I think Jimmy is more deserving than Bam, because of the impact that he makes when he's out there. And also, I kind of agree with you in the sense that, like, let's not give this guy a disadvantage because he had COVID. So Jimmy comes back from COVID, and what does he do? Puts up triple doubles. It just goes to show you that the all-star of this team, as much as we want it to be Bam, is actually really Jimmy. So if we're going to have a representative, it should be Jimmy. But with that being said, I didn't want either of the guys to go. So drip drop, I'm happy.
Bam's on-off numbers are a little interesting, and I actually think this bodes really well for him. So when he's on the court, they're minus 0.9. And they have almost a 110 offensive rating and a 110 defensive rating. They're almost even, really. When Bam's off, they're minus almost 5 with a 105 O rating and a 110 D rating. That says a lot to me as well, because, you know, a lot of those games that he played were with, you know, starting Gabe Vincent and Struess and all these dudes when they were, you know, fighting to stay alive against, you know, and that was a really tough part of their schedule, right? They played the Brooklyn Nets twice. You know, they were not gimmies. And I think the fact that he has treaded water in terms of his on-off differential is important. I think the numbers obviously speak for themselves. He's like 20, 10, and 5 on really, really good shootings. He's one of the most efficient players in the league. His free throw shooting's up to 85%, and he gets to the line almost 6 times a game. He's been really good, obviously, on defense. The pedigree is there, and we know it. And again, they have the second-best defense since Jimmy Butler's come back. And
what's their offense look like?
They're 25th. They're 25th in offense.
That's really bad.
Defense wins championships, Jack.
They're bad. They're bad. But if you look at the metrics, if you look at the film, I mean, that's not. I mean, I think we've gone over this. Our offense is bad because Andre Iguodala is killing their spacing, and Duncan Robinson can't hit a shot. Right? Like it's a part of it, and you see what happens last night in the fourth quarter. They're running the same stuff, and Duncan makes a couple shots, and all of a sudden, their offense looks pretty fucking good, right? Because they have really elite shooters moving off really complicated sets. And when those guys get in a rhythm, it's hard to defend. So I agree, Jack. I think they should be docked for their offense. But, I mean, you look
they
down.
They should be docked for everything.
But it's Julius Randle.
Do you think that...
Like, we look at the competition. It's
they're more
Julius
impressive. Of course.
Randle.
But the Knicks are a success story right now, and the Heat are
no, they're not.
Again,
they suck. They're a below 500.
Okay, but relative to expectations, this
that
is
doesn't
probably
matter.
One of the best.
What does that matter
it
for?
Does
what
matter,
does that matter
though?
For an individual
because it's the
accolade
game?
Because it's the All-Star game, and that's how it works. It's a stupid thing that really shouldn't like be tied to any legacy discussion because it's always been this way. Because there's always been like bullshit narrative stuff that gets into it. Just like with any NBA award, but especially the All-Star game. And honestly, if you're not a Heat fan and the Heat are not your number one priority that you're looking at, you think, hey, the Heat look like absolute shit. And I'm sorry, even with Jimmy, they do not look tremendous. They look fine.
They look okay.
They look bad for a team that made the finals last year.
Okay, but
they
the
are
Knicks don't look good either, is my point.
But the Knicks have been bad for decades and decades. And now they look not like the worst team in basketball.
They have like a little
that
sliver
that's not,
of hope.
That's not an argument. Thank you, Curtis Hero, for the tier one gifted sub. That's not an argument for them, though. That's you're just like rewarding a franchise that has been legitimately sewage because they fucking sprayed some Febreze over it. Like, what
sure,
are we talking
I mean, it's
about?
Not logical, but like that, I'm telling you, like,
but
that
I'm arguing
has to
it logically.
Into it.
But like I'm
it's
talking
the All-Star game. It's the All-Star game. You
and
can't
I,
like,
can
this
I just
All-Star
say
game?
this is absolutely the worst All-Star game. Like if I'm one of the players, why the fuck do you even want to go this year? Can I talk about like how pissed off I am with the scheduling really quick? Because I'm probably one of the only people who actually really enjoys the Saturday night like shooting contest, the slam dunk, all that shit. That's the only part that I really enjoy. I don't give a shit about the game. Okay. So now they moved everything to Sunday, put it all in one day. It's so late as hell. You're going to have the slam dunk contest at halftime in the middle of this game. Guys are going to be fucking up the dunks and all that, and the shit's going to go way past midnight. I'm not going to get any sleep. We're going to have to pod after. It's going to fucking suck. Go.
We have the day off.
It's a bad game.
That's a little better.
you're 100% right that, like, I know, gee, this is not what you're arguing. I know we're all in agreement here that it is overwhelmingly positive for them to miss. I think Jimmy's legacy at this point is not at all tied to All-Star games. I think he can make 10 more All-Star games and it wouldn't be a drop in the bucket. I think his legacy is entirely tied to postseason success at this point, doing things like he did last year. And with Bam, when you're 23, you're going to make 10 more All-Star games in the next decade. Like, he's going to be like a for sure starter for the next foreseeable decade and stuff. So, like, I'm not worried about that. And, you know, it's going to be a super spreader event. It's an atrocious thing that they're doing. Like, one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life.
By the super spreaders.
Hold on, but I want to get into that stuff, the kind of the ridiculousness of the holding a damn event in the middle of a pandemic when we, you know, we're pretty close to the end. You know, these All-Star appearances, they matter for legacy when we're talking about Hall of Fame and stuff like that. Like, you know, Jimmy only has 5 appearances, and he's had a couple circumstances in his career that has caused him to miss out on some. You know, for example, like, Lowry has more than Jimmy, right? And, you know, when it comes down to it, at the end, when it's time for him, you know, he might not get it because of a couple missed All-Star appearances. And that's the stuff that bothers me. And I agree, Jack, that, you know, this stuff shouldn't be tied to legacy, but it unfortunately it is. And that's why I know, like, I take it seriously, like, when I want to say, and, like, I don't have a vote, right? Like, if I did have a vote, I would take it really serious. It's why I like guys like Zach Lowe and Kevin Arnovitz, because they, like, legit understand, like, this stuff matters, not just for players' contracts, but for legacy and their Hall of Fame stuff and everything. Like, you know, 5-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA third team, 4-time All-NBA defensive second team. You know, I want him to get in because he deserves it. I think Jimmy Butler's a Hall of Fame player. And, you know, it might get to the point, you know, if next year, you know, he gets hurt, or next year, you know, I don't know, the bats, you know, Trae Young goes off and Jaylen is amazing and Tatum and Kemba's back. You know, like, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next season. And if he has a little bit of it down here, you know, the East has a lot of really good guards, and the front court players are obviously incredible. Look at what's going on in Brooklyn and all that stuff. Like, it could get tough for him. And I just think that he fucking deserves it this year. That you can't sit here and in good faith tell me Julius Randle is having a better basketball season just because he's played 5 or 6 more games or 7 more games, whatever it's been. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, if I was picking, I probably would have Bam and Sabonis in, and I wouldn't have Vooch in. And I don't know if Randle is the guy I take out.
Why is Randle, like, I think
he's been really good. I'm a Randle fan, so I'm a little bit biased.
I am too. I like him.
I don't know. I think Simmons making it over Bam is kind of bullshit. Like,
Simmons has not had an All-Star year. Yeah.
He hasn't. And he's been really good. And I think I'm incredibly impressed by him. I don't think he's an All-Star. I think, like, the numbers look really good. I don't think Levine is. I think the backcourt, I think Levine has been really good. He's fine as an All-Star pick. I'm not mad about it.
I think Levine got hot when it mattered, and the coaches were.
No, Levine's been putting up numbers all year. I just think that they're bad.
Middleton
is
what has been the guy.
His last couple games, he's been reaffirming it.
He is what he is, but Middleton is better.
I'll say about Jimmy, like, you're right about how it matters for legacy and Hall of Fame voting. As I said earlier in the pod, I think Jimmy, where he's going to make his legacy is in the postseason at this point. He really needs to, like, have another run like he did last year. And that's, I think, then he's a shoo-in. But, like, also, but, like, on the subject of what's fair and what's not fair, like, if you're talking about a season that has been unfair to one guy in particular, it's Jimmy. Like, literally carried his team to 6 games in the finals, like, after everybody got injured around him, and he gets rewarded with the shortest offseason in NBA history. And then he gets rewarded again being forced to play against a team that everybody and their mother knew had COVID and was spreading COVID. So then he gets COVID.
He rolled his ankle.
Rolled his ankle. But, like, that goes with having the shortest offseason in NBA history after carrying such a heavy load. It's like, he was really like set up for failure in every way at multiple points by the NBA. And I'm not saying there's a conspiracy against Jimmy Butler, but I'm saying they really like fucked him over in a way that they didn't do to any other player, because no other player was in his specific situation where he was carrying such a uniquely heavy load in the finals and then given such a short turnaround. I don't know. I do think there is something to be said, though, about like this Heat team being incredibly disappointing, and you have to expect to be penalized for that, because
I'm not that. I don't follow you there. I don't follow you there, because every season's a new season, and last year's expectations shouldn't affect individual awards. And I know that there is a team element to it, but I just disagree with you. By the way, Shmita Smolnik in chat is saying, has G looked at the stat comparison for Jimmy and Julius? Julius is better at everything other than assists this season. That's fine. You can do that. You can play the game of Julius has better counting stats. I've pointed out the on-court impact. Jimmy impacts winning in a way that Julius Randle does not. And Julius Randle's having a very good season. He's scoring the ball. He's doing so efficiently. But at the end of the day, he's getting like one more basket, and he's getting like one more or three more rebounds, whatever. Like, really, you're really going to point at here and say, oh, it's so much better because he gets a couple more rebounds and he makes one more field goal? Like, come on. Like,
why isn't he able ridiculous. To be voted in as a guard? Like, why is Jaylen Brown able to be voted in as guard, but Jimmy isn't?
Well, I mean, why are they doing positions anyway?
That's
the issue with Jaylen has been the defense has really fallen off lately. And
he's been good, but like, if you're talking about who doesn't deserve a spot, like, I think the front court in the East is way more loaded than the back court.
I don't know why you're going to Jaylen before you're going to Vooch and Julius Randle. Like, what are you doing?
Vooch and Julius Randle have been, I mean, if you're just looking at like counting stats, which is basically what all-star game is.
But these are coaches
like,
that are voting for this. Coaches
but
are
it's
not
still
doing
like
that.
An all-star game. It's not all NBA. It's a little different of a criteria.
They're going to vote
like,
the same way. I think the media votes way better than the coaches, but that's a different
question. I don't know. But I also think, yeah, I don't know. I think there's some saltiness against Miami, deservedly so. Like, I don't know. I just can't expect to be treated fairly in a season where it was your job to prove that you weren't frauds, and you look like fraud.
Chat's mad.
They weren't frauds last year.
Chat really wants Julius Randle in. I got to be honest with you.
He was really good.
I hate when people are happy for first-time All-Stars. I'm not. I'm sorry. I don't care about your cute little story. That's literally the Knicks Super Bowl. That's literally the
about your happiness.
This season, the only thing that fucking matters to that poverty fucking franchise is this guy making an all-star team. That's literally the only thing that matters, because they're not going to do shit. They're not going to win shit. They're fucking losers, and they've always been losers, and they haven't been good since Patrick Ewing. The Carmelo Anthony made them good one time, and they got their ass kicked by a trash can.
Better record than the
round.
Heat right now. Better record than the Heat.
The Heat have been ravaged by COVID while they haven't. So let's start by that. So they're slightly, like I said, they're sewage with a little Febreze, and all of a sudden everybody wants to fucking celebrate and throw confetti and roses. Fuck out of here. It's a loser.
I don't know why you're keying in on Randle as opposed to Vooch. Like, I think Randle
both, because I think Jimmy and Bam deserve it over them.
Both Sabonis deserved it more than one of those guys.
Sabonis is my biggest snub of the East squad.
No, Van Vliet's another guy that has a better record than all those other
Sabonis.
Shut up.
If we're going for just like overall the biggest snub.
Van Vliet, motherfucker.
The Raptors are better than all these teams, but whatever. It is what it is. The Raptors have the same record as the Pacers. So
I'm not acting okay. Philly Heat. Why do you even watch our? Never mind.
Philly Heat's mean to us on Twitter. That comes to all the streams. That's amazing.
Okay.
Did you guys see Dwayne Wade's ballot?
I'm not acting like they're a good team. I'm not acting like the Knicks are a good team.
You are. You kind of are.
No, they're not a good team. What I'm saying is just, I think the way people process it, and I'm not saying it's logical or fair, is you see what the Heat were last year, and they are performing way below expectations.
That doesn't,
you see what the Knicks have been
All-Star
for the past several decades. I'm not saying it's logical or fair, but I'm saying the Knicks have been an eye-popping team to some degree. Julius Randle has been an eye-popping player to some degree. The Heat have not been an eye-popping team. Bam has been an eye-popping player. Again,
Bama's not even better than Jimmy. I don't even know what you're doing there.
Jimmy has also been an eye-popping player, but again, missed a large chunk of the season where, like, people were gathering data, which matters. I'm not saying it's logical. I'm not saying it's fair. But, like, this is perception.
Only played 50 more minutes than
but
Jimmy.
This is again. Perception. If you're looking at the Heat from an outside perspective, and you're not saying you're doing, like, this absolutism where you're saying it's an individual accolade and stuff, and, like, you're right in this purely logical sense. But I'm talking about perception. When you see how disappointing the Heat are, you don't want to reward them as much. And the Knicks do not have that same problem. And I know they're not a good
explaining
team.
The
I know the Heat
the
are better than the Knicks, like, overall in the long run when healthy. But I think, you know, and you can criticize the coaches for not coming at it purely logically. But, like, when you look at it, the Knicks are more impressive than the Heat have been when you are comparing the context of last year, which is how.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of people process these things, even
Philly
coaches.
He makes a good point in chat. The Celtics aren't disappointing and they have two All-Stars. I mean, they've been not good.
Look, I'm saying I don't think Jaylen Brown should have made an All-Star game. I think him being voted in as a guard is the reason he made it. If he
more
was
of a position
in,
thing.
Yeah, it's more of a position thing. I think the guards are more shallow. I think maybe Middleton deserved a spot. I would have liked to see Middleton get in there. He was in as a guard as well, right? Like Middleton is a guy I would have had over. I don't know. I haven't looked at it that closely. Probably over. Jaylen Brown. I agree. The Celtics probably don't deserve two All-Stars either.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So Dwayne Wade's ballot came out. Have you guys seen this?
No.
No.
Okay, so Dwayne Wade's reserves. Ben Simmons, James Harden, DeMontis Sabonis, Julius Randle, Zach LaVine, Jaylen Brown, and Fred VanVleet. So Dwayne, no Jimmy, no Bam.
Well, I mean,
can't believe we have to cancel Dwayne Wade. I love Dwayne Wade, and I can't believe we have to cancel Dwayne.
I don't necessarily disagree with him. And honestly, I think listening to you fight right now, like, I'm not as emotionally invested in it. But I will say it's possibly because I fully expect Bam and Jimmy to return to multiple more All-Star games. And besides that,
I don't know about Jimmy, man. I don't know. Like, you guys, Like, there's nothing guaranteed in this sport. Do you remember when the Oklahoma City Thunder made the final against the Heat and everyone was like, they're going to get it. They're going to get another shot at this. They literally never did.
But then to Jack's point, then he'll solidify his Hall of Fame career by what he does in the postseason.
We don't know that he's going to get another chance like that, man. We don't know that.
If you're Dwayne Wade, though, I respect the decision.
If you're Dwayne Wade, you're a shitty friend.
You're saying, hey, my teams, when I was healthy, never fucking got this bad. They were, you know, if I had two all-star, if I had a Bam next to me or if I had a Jimmy next to me, our teams would not be three games under 500. We would have more than two wins against above 500 teams. Who, like, get your asses back in the gym. Like, what are you doing? You made the finals last year. If I'm Dwayne Wade, I keep them off just for spite because you were making the Heat look bad. You're making That's my right. organization look bad. No, I think you got to get serious and, like, I don't know. It sucks, but this is what happens when you're below 500. You leave yourself up to maybe unfair decisions. If you are a good team, there's no question that one or both of them make the All-Star game. And I know there are, you can do like, what about? And that's perfectly fair. But the problem is like, when you are this bad, you have less eyes on you. People are less impressed with you. And people are less willing to give you what you deserve or what you think you might deserve. And like, that's just a problem. And that's why I advise to not be three games under 500. Like, it's easy as that. They should have won more games.
I disagree. I think that the health matters. I can't excuse some of the losses, like to the depleted Clippers and that botched. You know, it's funny because I was thinking, Moose, they were a quarter away. Because in reality, I mean, they were up double digits in the fourth quarter against the Warriors. They were a quarter away from having a 5-2 road trip. Like, you know what I mean? That's pretty insane. And right?
That would have changed the national narrative vastly, I believe. Would it have been enough to put these guys in, though? I'm still with Jack on that.
I mean, they won the game that they had to win. They won the primetime ABC game, you know, on Saturday night. That's the game.
Yeah, that was the must win.
And that Jimmy and Bam played exceptional. I mean, Bam was, I like the phrase tornado on defense. I mean, that's what Bam was doing, everything. I mean, Bam was easily the best player of that game. And Jimmy, you know, played really well. Jimmy defensively was awesome and kind of controlled the pace of the offense. So, I don't know. I'm just upset about it. It bothers me. I think it's good that they're not going, though, because A, the rest is going to help them. So maybe this will be a blessing in disguise. They looked tired yesterday against the Thunder. A lot of short jumpers, and really Duncan and Kendrick bailed them out. I mean, Kendrick really has bailed them out a lot in the road trip. I mean, I know it's not a secret that I'm not a biggest fan of his game, but I mean, legit bailout play after bailout play from Kendrick, you know, some spot up threes late in the shot clock that went down. His shooting has been unreal. He's very quick at the rim. So they look tired. They don't have a lot of legs right now. So the rest is going to help them, is going to give Gorn a little more time to come back. And if they can get Jimmy on fresh legs, Bam on fresh legs, and Gorin on fresh legs to make a run in the second half of the season, I really like their chances. I think they're mostly on the road to recovery. And I want to kind of get into the rest of the season, kind of the first half where they're going to be in a second. But I mean, they're 14-17. They're three games under 500, two games back of the five spot, one and a half of six, which is the Celtics. So encouraging. There's stuff to build on. So let's look ahead for the schedule, kind of going forward, because it's a bit of a tricky schedule. I think that when I first looked at it, it looked a little easy, but I've kind of changed my tune on it. So they play Toronto tomorrow, on Wednesday. Then they play the Utah Jazz on Friday. Then they play two against the Hawks. And then they play one against the Pelicans. That's a little rough. Those two Hawk games are going to be big for them. I think that Raptors game tomorrow, and they're going to get the Raptors on the second night of a back-to-back. They're playing against Philly right now. Philly's bludgeoning them. Kyle Lowry is still not back for them. And I want to preview that game in a second. But those two Hawk games, I think, are must-wins. I think that Raptor game on the second night of a back-to-back is a must-win. I think they got to try to steal that Utah game. They have to, man. They're going to, they have to. I mean, they got their ass kicked by them and they're going to be coming back at home. I think that's a game that maybe they don't take, but I really want them to. Then the last game before your break against the Pelicans. Moose, I hate doing prediction stuff, but like, what's an ending to the season with those five games that would make you happy?
You get definitely both Hawk games would be fantastic. Raptors, and I don't know about Pelicans.
So three and two.
Yeah, three and two. I'll take it. I'm not expecting anything against Utah, to be honest, just because I think Utah's playing at a higher level right now. However, I will say I fully expect Jimmy and Bam to have that one circled, and they are chomping at the bit to get to that game after the last one. So anything's possible, but give me 3-2 and I'll be more than happy.
4-1. They have to play over their heads a little bit. I agree with what you're saying, Moose. And I mean, if they go 3-2, I think it's a win, but you are still, you know, regardless of what happens, they could go 5-0. And I would still say they need to make a trade. They need to make some kind of move. This roster is not complete. I still don't think they're a wonderful team. But yeah, I agree. 3-2 is like decent. I think 4-1 is where I'll be like, okay, yeah, like maybe this team isn't kind of what we thought they were all year. Like maybe they're a little better than what they've looked like in the past. 3-2, I think, is the expectation. 4-1 is a success. And I don't know, like, I think they have to assert their dominance over the Hawks. And then I think they have to get, it's the Raptors, the Jazz, and then who else?
The Pelicans.
Yeah, I think they have to get two of those three games. You know, whether it comes against the Jazz or they could lose to the Raptors and I'd be fine as long as they beat the Jazz or like, but yeah, 3-2 is fine. I think 4-1 is what I'm looking for as a barometer for success. 3-2 would just be, this is the same team. Nothing changes about my perspective on the team. And like, again, as G has vociferously argued throughout this entire podcast, this is a team with two all-stars and two well-deserving all-stars. Like, indisputable that they are deserving of all-star appearances. So they should, like, I don't know, they should roll over the Hawks. They should, you know, beat the all-starless Raptors. And the Jazz, I mean, I think I'm done with giving this team excuses for not beating teams that are better than them, if that makes sense. I think at a certain point you have to say, this is a good team. This is a team with multiple stars on it. And there should not be a team in the NBA that you circle as a scheduled loss. If you can beat the Lakers, even though they had Anthony Davis missing, then you should be able to beat any team in the NBA on any given night. And I think that's how I felt about the team last year. And that's not how I feel about the team this year, obviously, because they haven't beaten anybody except for the Bucks and the Lakers. But they need to start playing like a team that doesn't have any scheduled losses because they can't afford them.
So the Heat right now, the Hawks actually are a little feisty. They've kind of put together some winning lately. So I think those are the two games that I kind of worry about, because it's also tough to sweep those little mini series. I think a lot of times coaches make adjustments and players kind of respond to those adjustments a little better and easier when they're right in front of you. The Hawks, actually, they're 3-7 in their last 10. They had really kind of risen up the standings and they've kind of fallen over themselves. So their offense has improved. I know in the beginning of the season, their offense started like near the bottom and their defense was actually kind of feisty in the top 10. And that's really fallen off since the Hawks defense is is already 22 and their offense is at 12th. So they've kind of corrected it. Despite kind of a weird start for them. The Raptors game tomorrow, I think, is interesting because they're getting blasted by Philly right now. Korkmaz is just doing whatever he wants. The Sixers are just shooting the lights out and it's going to be tough for them. Lowry might come back against the Heat, which will make things difficult. I think those point guard matchups are just tough for Miami. The Raptors have also gone to playing really small. So they'll oftentimes go OG Anunoby / Siakam at the four and the five. You know, with the small guy at small forward. So that really, really small ball And that kind of bodes well for Miami because obviously their rebounding has been an issue, although they've corrected that since Jimmy's come back. They're 12th in rebound percentage. But you kind of like Bam going at these smaller guys. And while those lineups are a lot more switchable and it's going to be tough on their shooters, I do think that Jimmy is a really good guy at matchup hunting, so that he's going to be able to pick on some of those smaller guys, especially if Lowry's not in. There's going to be a smaller guard that's going to be huntable. So that's going to be interesting. But the smaller lineups do provide for more switching. They don't go as much with Aaron Baines anymore. Jack and I are going to get into more of that in the pregame show. I like what Killard said in chat, that if they go 4-1, that tells me that they're back. And they've really been
average. Back on track.
Back on track.
Back on track to being back. Not back.
Back on track, on to, track being back. To being back.
But ask
back
yourself on the track this. To be back. How much faith do you guys have that they're going to go 4-1 now?
Oh, none.
Exactly.
Little to none. Yeah. No, you're being realistic. And I think pragmatic and like the realistic clear-eyed thing is that they're 3-2.
Hopeful.
A hopeful thing is 4-1. And that
4-1 is like, yeah.
4-1. 4-1 is saying, that's a statement.
That's a statement. And it says, hey, we're a legit team. Cause I don't feel that yet. I know the Lakers game was a really good win. I know like the fact that they've been able to string together some wins is really positive, but they're still not playing amazingly. None of those games were, I think, decisive statements. I think they all had little encouraging things about the team. Like I thought it was really cool that they were able to play kind of down all game and then end up kind of, you know, handily winning last game. Like things like that, those are really encouraging things. But like, I have not seen a game yet where I say like, oh, this is a team that can go back to the finals. This is a team that like, as constituted, can make big waves in the playoffs. I have not seen that team this season. Maybe against the Bucks, I saw it. But even then, like, I don't know, because it was also like pretty close to a pretty devastating loss to the same team. They lost by like, what, like 50 that game? And then...
Yeah.
I don't know. They need a trade. We've been talking about that. Somebody brought up the Myers-Leonard thing. I forgot who asked it. Somebody asked if we can sign I think Schmeath and Schmolnick asked, are we able to split that into two signings?
You cannot. So actually it's funny because when I saw that, I immediately went to ask Keith Smith about that because he's a big Keith Smith, by the way, follow him. He does really good work at Keith Smith NBA. Knows a lot about the cap. He said just one. So they cannot split that up. And also, I think it was Albert Nahmad said that you can't, if they trade Myers, I think they lose that. So they might have to sign the guy first and then trade Myers. So it's a little complicated for them. But they cannot split that up. That's like $4.3 million that they cannot split.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's tough. And the buyout, I mean, it's going to be tough in the buyout market. It's going to help, obviously. But, you know, the Heat are going to have something that a lot of teams that are kind of contenders cannot normally offer a buyout guy. Can offer them money and role. And those two things are often not what you normally get. You normally get one or the other. Sometimes... I remember when Wes Matthews got bought out, he went to the Pacers because of role. They offered him, hey, listen, you're going to play a lot because we need you. And he didn't go to a team like the Heat or the Lakers that were a little bit better because there was just no, you know what I mean? There wasn't a role for him. So this is something that I think is interesting and kind of that the Heat can kind of play. I think that they're going to try to get to the deadline and see what they have. And then make a decision because they do have some chips to cash. I think Duncan's obviously an interesting chip. I think if Kendrick keeps up his play, that's interesting. And they need to do a deal while also maintaining lineup flexibility. I was looking at some numbers with Olynyk. His stats with Jimmy are like absolutely unreal. And I don't know if I'm drinking too much of the Olynyk Kool-Aid, but I mean, they've been really good together. So when Jimmy and Olynyk are both on the court together, they're bludgeoning teams. They're plus 14 net rating in almost 400 minutes. The offense is at 115, and the defense is surviving. They're at 101, which is a really, really good defense.
I actually didn't know that. Damn.
Yeah, they're playing great. And when Jimmy's without Olynyk, They're minus 10 net rating, and their offense tanks to 104 net rating. And when obviously when Olynyk's without Jimmy, that looks like shit. So that's been interesting that Jimmy's success has been tied to Olynyk minutes. And I think part of that is they get spacing as at the big spot, either the four or the five, and then Jimmy has a pick and roll partner plus Olynyk kind of spreading the floor. And I just think
that really, he knows he has someone in the corner that he can trust if he needs to.
And he's guarded out there. He's not like Andre, where Andre is really helped off.
Seriously,
of,
yeah.
He, you know, Moose, have you seen it? Like, he fans really, really don't like Olynyk.
He's a roller coaster ride. I mean, like, it's what we say on Hangover Time, but it really is. Like, he's a good player. I like Kelly Olynyk, but does he frustrate me? Absolutely. I mean, there's sometimes where, but with all that being said, he's our best option at the four. We need him to space the floor. And, you know, those numbers with Jimmy just go to show you that if he helps our best player excel and exceed what he's doing on the court, then keep him out there. Give him all the minutes.
One thing so before we go, because we're running on time and this is mainly an all-star show and kind of looking ahead to the rest of the season. Jack, I've been very curious as to what the Jimmy Bam kind of fixes have been this season, right? So I was kind of looking on trusty pbbstats.com, which is a great site for lineup data. You should all like be using that as a tool to be more informed basketball fans. You know, when Jimmy and Bam play together in games that they've both played, so I want to throw out all those, you know, games where they were with COVID lineups. They're winning. They're winning those minutes. They're almost plus one. That's concerning to me. I think that you want that to be more. I think they shouldn't be barely winning those minutes. I think they should be decidedly winning those minutes where they're both on the court together. So I think that's something that we should be monitoring. What I think is encouraging is that when Jimmy plays without Bam, they're winning those minutes by a lot. They're plus almost 9 per 100 possessions with a really good offense. Jack, that surprises me. Does that surprise you? Because I feel like when Bam's on the court without Jimmy, it looks like a struggle.
Yeah, I guess those numbers surprised me. I'd have to like think more about them, but I don't know. Like, again, this team is not. Those numbers don't suggest that those are both all-stars. If I'm going to be a dick about it, and I am, those numbers to me would not suggest that these are two all-star players. Would it, like, wouldn't those numbers be a little higher?
I agree. I think that, yeah. And that's one of the, and I win. Think that if you want to look the at debate.
There we go.
I agree with you. I think if you're going to nitpick them, you would go to that. Although their individual numbers are good without each other. So Bam without Jimmy,
that's fair.
Almost plus 9. Jimmy without Bam, plus 15 net rating. And when they both sit, so when neither are on the court together, they're minus 16 net rating, which is why Eric Spoelstra should never do that ever again. He does that sometimes and it drives me fucking crazy. Smith and Smolnik in chat says G looks up stats like most men look up porn.
Just looking at some stats.
I love lineup data. What could we say? So it's just, I kind of wanted to monitor that because I thought kind of the Jimmy Bam staggering has been interesting. And I think what they did against the Kings was smart. I think they decided, okay, no more Jimmy and Bam-less lineups. We're not going to do that anymore. We are going to have one of them on the court at all times. And we're going to try to overlap when we can. But I mean, they haven't been great when they've overlapped. They've been barely treading water. And I want to see what Goran looks like there, because even when Goran has played, they're like minus one. So they're not good with the three of them. It's only 66 minutes. So we got to see. There's a lot of basketball left to be played, and I do think that some of their trends are looking good. I want to answer one person in chat because I saw them put up a bunch of names. Garrett Temple, Efrain Payton, Valentine, McGee. Yeah, this, I don't know. I mean, Ojale. God, do you guys want Ojale? No way. I don't want Ojale.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I mean, James Ennis. I don't think Bazemore is going to be available. Like, these are a lot of, these are, that's a lot of hopeful names. So I don't know. It's going to be tough looking ahead. Remember, we're going to be pre-games and post-game show before and after every single Heat game this season. So make sure to check that out. Jack, we're almost ready to launch the Weird Alpha pre-game show. We're really excited about that. That's going to be fun. Check out Moose and Alf and Tiff and everybody on Hangover Time after every game. Remember to check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat, to claim your rewards, baby. You could be on Hangover Time. You could be on Heat Beat. We do some watch parties, right, with some of our listeners. Those are a lot of fun. I know Alpha and Siobhan are really excited for the next one. We're going to try scheduling that soon. And we have some, we have some very, 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 very cool announcements coming up for Heatbeat. Today was a really good day for us as a company. So we're really excited to share with you some of the new things that we have going. And make sure to support us in all the ways that you can. It's been a dream come true to do this and to have you guys kind of back us in the way you have. Like, that's been fucking
awesome. Yeah, everyone's really been amazing. Thank you, guys. And make sure you also check out Streambeat. That's the only reason I'm here.